Let's see. Take your Bible. There we go. And open with me, please, to the third chapter of the book of Proverbs as we look together there at what God is doing in our midst. And I'm going to get there myself. I want you to look with me at a wonderful passage of Scripture that God wants to use mightily in your life. How many of you have ever, when you were a child, a teenager, a toddler, how many of you have ever been disciplined by your parents? Let me see your hand. Okay. Most of us. Now, I grew up in an age where nobody debated. I mean, it just was not a debate whether it was okay to spank a child or not. And it certainly was not a debate in my household, I got to tell you. I can remember several times. My grandmother, oh, man, she was this wonderful, sweet lady. She could cook cornbread like nobody and apple pies. But when you got in trouble at grandmother's house, this is what she did. She would look at you, and she would tell you to go out in the yard to a certain switch bush. She grew them. And you had to pick a switch and bring it back to her. How many, anybody ever get switched? Yeah. My dad, he would sometimes spank us with a belt. Now, I let me clarify, I was never one time, to all my recollection, ever abused, okay? Discipline didn't go too far. It didn't take on any evil connotations. But my daddy, every once in a while, he would look at you. He'd do like this. This is what he'd do. He'd reach down to grab his belt and realize he didn't have one on. And then he would make you take off yours and hand it to him. That's just not right. Now, I can remember. We used to have. Do you have one of those rings in your closet that you kept your belts on? Do you ever have one of those? Every once in a while, when he'd be real upset, he'd reach in there and he'd grab that ring. Now, what he didn't realize is that when you move like 20 belts at a time, it disperses. But you cried just as hard. You didn't want him to know. It didn't hurt near as bad. But you know, it really didn't hurt near as bad as some things, because I can remember two times in my life when I deserved a belt, a switch, or anything else, and I didn't get it. Instead, I got words. One of those times, I was about 12, 13 years old, and I was a patrol at school. You know, I'd gotten one of these white sash belts, and I'd met some of the other patrols. I was probably in the sixth grade. Some of those seventh and eighth graders, they had some mouths on them, I'm going to tell you. And they taught me some new words. They weren't Greek or Hebrew either. And my brother, right after that happened, I've never been very good at being two-faced. So what you see is what you get. And I came up the steps. My brother, we were going to brush our teeth, and he came out of the bedroom, and he jumped in line in front of me and got in the bathroom before I did. And when he came out of the bathroom, I looked at him and I said, "Go to Sunday school." Well, it's not what I said. He immediately went in and told my mom and dad, and they were in bed, and dad was laying there. I hadn't been a believer long. And I tell everybody, I did my worst sinning after coming to Jesus. Because I came early, and they just looked at me, and Daddy said something like, "Son, is that the kind of language that you believe you ought to be using?" Oh, gosh. Whew. Hit me, please. You know? Please. I walked out of there. Both my brothers are like 6'2 and 6'3. I'm like 5'30. I was 6'3 until that night. I lost 3 inches right there from my dad's bed. It's like the Holy Spirit just grabbing hold of you. Discipline is not fun. Sometimes it's painful. But it is key to the abundant life in Jesus. And the proverb we're looking at this morning, I want you to look at it. It's administration and your attitude toward it. It's going to determine whether you succeed, whether your marriage succeeds, whether your parenting succeeds, whether you fail miserably in all of those things. Here's the word of the Lord. You're looking at it, Proverbs chapter 3, last key of the six, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not reject my discipline, or the discipline of the Lord, or loathe its reproof. For whom the Lord loves, and the tense of the Hebrew verb there in love, it is who the Lord is continuing to love. He reproves, even as a father corrects the son or the daughter in whom he delights. Listen, here's the life key. The life key is just simply accept discipline as proof of the Lord's love for you. Let me quickly go by these life keys for you. And I'm not going to spend but a minute there. But here they are. The first life key we looked at was found in verse 1 and 2. It was implement God's word if you want genuine peace in your life. The second one was this in 3 and 4. Put kindness and fidelity into your life as a character in order to gain favor with God and with men. The third one was this, trust in the Lord. I mean, really trust in the Lord, and he will ensure that you end up with your proper destiny. Number four was, when you correctly align yourself in humility under the Father, he's the boss, you're the servant, then God is going to bring fullness of health spiritually, mentally, and physically to you. The fifth one was honor the Lord from your wealth, with your wealth, and God will give you wealth. That's found in the key in verse 9 and 10. And now we get to 11 and 12, and here it is. Accept discipline from God as proof of his love for you. Because that's what it is. Discipline is proof. That's the first point. Discipline is proof. Let me tell you what it's proof of. When God brings discipline in your life, he is proving to you that you belong in God's family. You belong in God's family. Surely there's no better word than son, my son. And that's what he uses here, my son. And he's using it generically. He means my son, my daughter, any one of us. And it is a sign of our inclusion. It's a sign of his adoption of us into his family. It's a sign of his love. It's even a sign of God's great inheritance for us as we inherit what Jesus has won for us on the cross. These words include you as part of God's family. Jesus becomes our elder brother. In Christ, he's elevated you to a position as a son of God, as a daughter of God, and that's the way he looks at you. That's the way he receives you. In Jesus, you become an heir to all of the riches of heaven and all of the grace of God. That's the way he looks at you. All of the keys of life of yours, and here is one of them. Therefore, understand that nothing the Lord brings into your life, nothing the Lord would discipline with you with, nothing he would correct you with, none of the instruction he has for you is anything but a testament and a statement of his love for you. Just like, well, my dad sometimes would see us. And you know, every once in a while as a little kid, we try to pull away from him and dart into a road. You ever had your children do that? In a parking lot, get away from you? And my dad would grab you and he'd take his hand and he'd swat you on the, you know where I'm talking about? And you know why he would do that? Because listen, my dad, he didn't do that with every child in the parking lot. He only did that with his boys, right? He only did that with his boys. And he did that because a little pain delivered in the right juncture kept you from getting a whole lot of pain from the big truck or car that was coming through. And it was a sign that he loved you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to go as quick as I can, but I don't want you to miss this because it is so key and so important. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. This is what God's word says. And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? And then he quotes this verse, this proverb. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Look at verse 7. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. And yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Boy, that's cool. That's neat. So it proves you belong to the family. Secondly, when you're disciplined by God, it shows how much God delights in you. And he does. He looks at you and he delights in you. He doesn't look at you and go, ooh, or bad, or I don't want you, or I wish you weren't in my family. He literally delights in you. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go to the front of your Bible. Took you to the back. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 2. Nothing better than hearing you turn the pages of God's word. You shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. And chapter 8, verse 2. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his sons. He delights in you. Like one of his children, like you delight in your children. Man, when I think about how I delight in my children and to think that God delights in me that way, that's just unbelievable. Not only that, it proves his love for you. It proves his love for you. You see, God's love for you is not merely a word and it's not essentially a feeling. But this is proof of his love in that love is an action taken on behalf of another person. You know? It's administered as proof of the fact that a parent loves a child, and the absence of that is really indifference. It is termed in some places in the scriptures even hatred toward a child. So when God disciplines you, he is saying to you, I love you. I care enough about you that I'm not going to let you go off and just end up wherever you want. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm right there with you. I'm noticing what you're doing, and I want to correct you and help you get back in the right way. Hit that next button for me, brother, so that we see it on the screen. And he says, I love you. And here's the word. Here's the word. Look at it in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation 3, 19. Here's what God says. He's speaking to that church in Laodicea that's neither hot nor cold, you know. And yet he knows exactly where they are. He knows about them. He knows what they're doing. He knows where they're going. And he loves them. They may be indifferent to him, but he loves them. And that's the case with you. You may feel indifferent toward God this morning. But I'm going to tell you, God loves you. As his son or his daughter, this is what he said. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. In other words, don't get angry at me. Don't pull away from me when you feel my hand of discipline on you, because my hand of discipline, my word of discipline, simply says, in action, I love you. I love you. I love you. And then he says, and this is happening for some of you today, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him. You realize that verse is to Christians, where God is knocking on their door, saying, I'm here. I'm here. And for some of you today, this very message is God knocking on your door, saying, I'm here. Open the door. Open the door. Discipline is your proof that you're part of God's family, that he's delighted with you, and that he loves you. But discipline is also God's provision, and you know that. Just as it is with your children, as God disciplines you, may I tell you that he does it for your safety. He does it for your safety. In a sense, he does it for your salvation. You know, not in the sense that you're going to get saved from hell, but tangible salvation right now. So you're headed in the wrong direction. It's about to destroy you, and God disciplines you and puts you back on the right path, because if he did not, literally, your life would be over. Your life would be over. Some of you messed with stuff before in your life that would have ended your life if God hadn't intervened and disciplined you. So when he disciplines you, it's for your safety. Secondly, it's for your direction. Sometimes we're just headed down the wrong road. And God is, in this way, God is like a wife. Yeah. When we're not looking at the map and she says, honey, you're going the wrong way. And we say, no, I'm not. And then later on, we pull over and get in a service station and say, where is it? And they say, well, it's back the other way. And we have to go out into the car and say something like this. Don't say a word to me. And honey, what that means is, I admit I'm wrong and I'm very sorry about it. Okay? And so God uses it to bring us into the right direction. Thirdly, it's for growth and maturity. See, God cares enough about you that he's not willing to leave you where you are. Now, he'll save you from wherever you are. There's nobody in here that's too bad to be saved and brought into the family of God. There's nobody in here that God doesn't care about enough. He sent his son for you to die for you. So I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't care who you are or how bad you are or what you have done. God loves you enough to save you. He also loves you enough that once he has saved you and brought you into his family, he's not going to leave you where you are. And so his correction is to bring you into maturity so you don't keep running into problems and pain and heartache over and over and over again when you don't listen to him. See, even that's love. So discipline is God's provision for you. And you got to think about it, because the key here is not God's discipline is key, but the key is how you deal with God's discipline. When you receive it as love and you enter into it and you look for it and you accept it and you change with it. See, that's the key. Discipline has a plan, by the way. Sometimes the discipline comes in circumstances. You remember Jonah in the Bible? How many of you remember Jonah in the Bible? You remember? Okay, Jonah in the Bible. Jonah, God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach against them. And you remember the story. He starts to go because he wants God to condemn them. When he realizes in his heart God's probably going to forgive them when they repent, he doesn't want to go preach to them because he doesn't like them. He hates them. And he turns away and he runs away to Tarsus. And he gets on a boat and the storm comes up. And the waves go, and there's a big fish that's swimming under the boat going, I'd like to invite Jonah for dinner today. They finally take Jonah, throw him in the water, and the fish swallows him up. Now, all of that is circumstance, right? But who's in charge of the circumstance? Who? God. And so the circumstances are God's way of getting Jonah's attention because the Holy Spirit's already been dealing with him. And when he gets tired of sitting in the belly of the fish, he recognizes what God's been trying to tell him. He repents, he returns, and those circumstances bring him back to the place God would have him to be. Now, some of you are in circumstances of discipline. Now, not every bad circumstance is discipline. Not in the sense of correction. Sometimes it's just life and we have to go through it. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as you walk in circumstances and he reveals to you a place where you're out of God's will and out of God's favor and you're not aligned with God's word, and that's discipline. So you gotta let you know what it's about. So you don't find yourself in a bad circumstance and go, God must hate me, but you say, okay, if I'm in this circumstance and the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and my devotion is a word from the Lord that says something to me about my lifestyle or the way I'm thinking or what I'm doing, man, your circumstance is discipline. And you need to turn around and crawl out of that belly of that fish and learn what life is like on good land again, because God loves you enough to bring those circumstances to you. Secondly, God's plan for is not only circumstance, but it's people. How about David? You remember David? David and the terrible sin with Bathsheba. And when David was in that place, God sent a man of God, a prophet, a preacher to him, and he told David a story. And David got so angry because he thought the story was about somebody else. And then Nathan looked at him and said, you're the man. Now, this is what God does sometimes. God uses spouses. He uses preachers. He uses Sunday school teachers. Sometimes he uses people we don't even know. And they are the voice of God to us. And when we come to church and we hear something we don't like and we turn it off because we think, oh, I don't like that guy preaching or this, that, or the other thing, man, we are sometimes turning off the voice of God. And God will find another way to get through to us as his children. Every kind of discipline doesn't work in every circumstance for everybody. Parents learn this with their children. Sometimes it's a hand in the proper position. Sometimes it's a word. You know, sometimes it's taking something away. But God uses people sometimes to bring discipline. Thirdly, God uses his word. And his word might come through people, or we might hear his word by the Holy Spirit when we're walking through circumstances, or we might be reading his word, or somebody might be preaching his word, or the Sunday school teacher might just get to that lesson in the word, and we happen to be there. Sometimes we'll leave the church we're in and go to somebody else's church, so he'll quit talking to us through that bloomin' preacher at our church, and he uses the bloomin' preacher at the other church. Sometimes preacher goes out of town and it's the guest preacher who comes. But all of it is saying, I love you. Stubborn. There's a stubborn streak in all of us that often rises when we're corrected. We see it very clearly in children. We don't see it so clearly in ourselves. Sometimes that stubborn streak gets stronger as we get older. But consider that God is working in us like a good GPS for a driver that's got off course. And his correction is to bring us back to the place we ought to be. Sometimes we answer God by saying, that's just the way I am. Well, I got to tell you, just the way I am, that's a sorry excuse for not being willing to hear God in your life. The Lord's reproof may surely come through a trusted friend or wounded spouse. It may come with a sermon or a devotion, but the wise man or woman will not loathe that reproof. They'll receive it. They'll not turn away from it. They'll welcome it. And when it comes, they will hear the word of God in 1 John 1:9 that says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. My friend, this is a key to being what God wants you to be. And I just want to say, as we come to the table this morning, as we consider what God is doing with us and through us, there's not a better day for this key than when we're going to celebrate the table of the Lord, and we're going to take that which represents the blood that he shed for us and the body that was broken for us, and we're going to ingest it, receiving it as we receive him. There's not a better day for me to say to you and ask you, what is God dealing with you about in your life? How is he speaking to you? Maybe you like that church in Laodicea where he says, I stand at the door and knock. He said, you know, I would that you were hot or would that you were cold, but you're indifferent. You're lukewarm. You're satisfied with this, sitting on a pew and letting the world go by, not being a part of my mission and my kingdom. Oh, I would that you were hotter. Oh, those whom I love, I discipline. Maybe you're caught up in that sin that's going to destroy you. Maybe nobody else knows about it. I tell you, hidden sins, Satan uses them. When they come out in the open, there's no power to them anymore. Maybe you're dealing with something like that. Maybe the Holy Spirit's just talking to you in a way that you know about a word or an attitude, a behavior. One, that's God saying to you, I love you. I delight in you. And I am concerned about you. And when you hear the voice of God in that kind of discipline, doing that kind of thing, your life will be redeemed. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you for meeting us in this place, for your power in your word, and for your love and your discipline. And right now, Father, I just come before your throne, and like David, we pray, Lord, search me and try me and see if there's anything that is displeasing to you in me. And if there is, Lord, show it to us. We're tired of walking in rebellion. Tired of feeling like we're kicking against a gourd. Tired of seeing our families crumble. Our relationships broken. Holy Spirit, deal with us individually right now. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our lives. Hear our confessions. Cleanse us. Every place and every area. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us this much. Amen.